It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. With only 1 week until Election Day, early voting is well underway and political advertisements are everywhere.
They're all over streaming services, social media, TV, and then there's the endorsements, including some surprises from political figures, celebrities, and media outlets.
Or maybe you're hearing about public figures getting slammed for not endorsing anyone publicly.
The discussions about the election are getting more and more heated, and with only a week to go, we're digging into the latest on ads and endorsements.
Mordecai Lee is a professor emeritus at UW-Milwaukee, former state legislator. He's here to share his thoughts on political ads, endorsements, and the run-up to Election Day. Mordecai, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be with you.
Let's start with ads, Mordecai. Now, you said you represented Wisconsin on C-SPAN recently. You said you saw this year's crop of ads as brutal. Now, you and I have seen an election or two over the years. What strikes you as particularly brutal in our ads this time around?
You know, Rob, every year when you and I talk, it seems like it's a new low in ads. But this year, I think they've hit rock bottom. I think because of the brutal verbs and adjectives they use. I think brutal in terms of what the accusation is, brutal in terms of going beyond factuality. I mean, it just sort of makes me shudder when I see them back to back.
And we here in Wisconsin are getting so many ads. Do you see, is there something about the volume of ads in addition to that negativity that's really striking you this year?
Rob, I was astonished. Just the other day, I was watching the local news, and of course, they have a commercial break. And in past years, there'd be some regular commercials and some political commercials. That was sort of par for the course. But in the last few days, during these commercial breaks, the entire commercial break has been back-to-back ads. And sometimes it's sort of back-to-back by adversaries. In other words, two from the Senate race, two from the presidential race, almost like a closed loop, almost a doom loop. You can't even escape it. So maybe one of the reasons I feel it's so brutal is by seeing essentially four political commercials back-to-back. Really awful.
Who are those ads targeting, Mordecai? Because I think at this point, a lot of people know who they're voting for. Early voting is going on. They've already voted. There's a fairly small pool of people who might be persuadable or at least persuadable to not vote, or they're on the edge and to get them to vote. How many people are at play for all of these ads we're seeing?
You know, Rob, even if you and I were to conclude that, let's say, 98% of Wisconsin voters have already decided who they're going to vote for, and 2% to us in the real world, it doesn't sound like much, almost like a rounding error. But those 2% are probably going to be the ones who decide who's going to be president and who's going to be U.S. senator. And to us, it's astonishing that there are people like that. But I think the long-held tradition in Wisconsin of being independent, of voting the person and not the party, there's still sort of these remnants, so legacy voters, I guess we would call them, who are still open to that. And so in one respect, I think it's the tradition that these ads are for persuasion. But I think you also touched on some other motivations. For example, if the Trump campaign or Republican campaign are boosting Jill Stein, that's an effort to persuade probable Harris voters to vote for Jill Stein. When we see ads by Republicans who urge their fellow Republicans to vote for Harris, that's another effort to get people to switch who they were intending to vote for. And I guess the last reason is probably just plain hysteria. And by that, I mean it in a constructive sense, that you want to so inflame your base that they're just dying to vote. And we've certainly seen it in the stats that are coming out of the early voting by mail and the early voting in person, that we're seeing almost a tidal wave of early voters. And I would guess that it's probably relatively balanced between Democrats and Republicans. But that shows that people are just dying to vote. They don't even want to wait until they're pounding on the schoolhouse door at 7 in the morning next Tuesday. They just want to vote. That's how enthusiastic they are. So all these things put together, that's why we're seeing these awful ads.
Talking to UW-Milwaukee, longtime political scientist Mordecai Lee in the run-up to Election Day. Turning to endorsements, you mentioned, Mordecai, some Republicans coming out endorsing Kamala Harris. Some surprises. Senator Robert Coles, longtime Northeastern Wisconsin Republican state senator, not running for re-election, longest-serving state lawmaker now, endorsing Kamala Harris, saying he sees Donald Trump as authoritarian, used the word fascist, as we're seeing some of the president's former appointees, including his chief of staff, saying. What did you make of that?
Well, I know Rob personally. I overlapped with him when I was in the state legislature. Very decent guy, moderate Republican. And so what I think the purpose of these ads is that, is there some credibility of a Democrat who endorses a Republican reaching those Democratic voters and persuading them to switch? Or in this case, a Republican addressing Republican voters and urging them to switch to vote Democratic? And so the endorsement is an effort, in a sense, to reopen the window, to reach the ones who otherwise are probably not paying attention. It has a kind of an external credibility. And not just these political endorsements that are sort of bolting from their party, but I think when we see Hollywood and show business and pop singers doing events that then get reported in the news, doing these big rallies, it's an attempt to reach a new audience. So, for example, if a pop star endorses one of the two candidates, then the followers of that pop star might be persuaded either to vote for the person that he or she endorsed or to vote in general. Perhaps they weren't even planning to register to vote. So it's an effort to expand the base to voters who otherwise would not participate and who, frankly, are so turned off by politics that they're not even listening.
All right. Campaign visits, Mordecai. You have to travel. You have to plan your travel now to make sure you're not slowed down by a Harris visit, a Trump visit, a Vance, a Walz. The list keeps going on and on. They keep coming to Wisconsin. Obviously, the campaigns think Wisconsin's at play. Do rallies make a difference?
Probably the rallies have some effect on getting new people to volunteer who then proceed to take a lawn sign to go door to door. But I think in part what we're seeing is it's an effort to get what's called free media. In other words, when you get media coverage on a commercial TV station as part of the news story, then you're getting free exposure as opposed to having to pay for a commercial. And so in that respect, every time they do a media event in that market, TV market, and probably some adjacent TV markets, send reporters who then file stories. So it's an effort to get into the news, because the animal of TV news always wants new product. Here's what happened today. TV news doesn't care that much about what happened yesterday. And so that's part of it.
It can have bad results. Now, here in Wisconsin, we've got a competition to get more or less a black turnout in Milwaukee County. Latino turnout could be key in Wisconsin. We have this Madison Square Garden rally for the Trump campaign. The news, the earned media coming out of that is jokes about one of the speakers calling Puerto Rico a floating pile of garbage. Talking about black people carving watermelons instead of pumpkins, talking about pimp handlers making fun of Kamala Harris's mixed race heritage. What do you make of this? This is the closing argument in Madison Square Gardens, and these are the headlines coming out of it.
You know, as a good government professor, I really wish that both sides would scale back the rhetoric. I mean, this is just really awful. We should have some courtesy and respect and honor. But what it's telling us is that the Trump campaign is doubling down on its base. In other words, that event in Madison Square Garden was not intended to recruit new voters or to persuade new voters. It was intended to inflame the base, mobilize the base, be sure the base is sort of hot and angry and wants to vote, because they probably assume that they've maxed out on the possibility of addition. So in this case, they might be engaging in some, I guess you'd call it, subtraction. It could be they're willing to risk, let's say hypothetically, some Puerto Rican voters or some new immigrants or whatever it might be, just for the sake of inflaming the base. Now, usually the logic of politics is you go for addition instead of subtraction. But the fact that he's doing so well in the polls has to indicate that they feel they're at the place that they just really want to be.
Is there a risk, though, that you're inflaming a base, but it's the other side's base?
I suppose. But, you know, I would guess that even though some people watch commercial TV news, which, of course, tries to be balanced and fair and neutral, but a lot of the audience is already in a ghetto. In other words, the Republican base watches Fox News. The Democratic base watches MSNBC. And they hear sort of what they want to hear. They're living in different worlds. And so what I think it's coming down to in this sort of closing argument is which issue is more important to those voters who are still on the fence? Is it grocery prices or is it abortion? If it's grocery prices, they'll vote Trump. If it's abortion, they'll vote Harris. Both of those issues are very personal. In other words, they're not abstract issues about immigration policy. They're something that touches me, the individual citizen. And I'm not sure which of those two issues is going to dominate over the other.
Very briefly, Mordecai, half a minute. What do you think swings this race in Wisconsin? I won't ask you to predict it, but what swings it?
Rain. if it's a rainy day, there'll be a few people who don't vote, but I don't know if it'll keep it home, the Republicans or Democrats. I'd have to say, in short, my prediction is flip a coin, and that'll be the correct answer.
Mordecai, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Mordecai Lee, professor emeritus at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker, with us for a look at the closing days of the presidential campaign here in Wisconsin.